I was excited when I looked at the lectionary passages for today and saw that one of them dealt with Elijah. Because if ever there was someone who was challenged to stand on the promises and to remain faithful even when faith doesn't make sense, it was Elijah. So today it's my hope and prayer that we can get inside the skin of Elijah and walk through the experiences recorded in the book of Kings to remind us of what it is he experienced and lived in living out his calling for God. To begin that process, I invite you to turn to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. 1 Kings 17, and read the first 16 verses. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Lord God, you speak through your word. And as you spoke your word to those who penned the scriptures, so now speak to us what we need to hear, for your sake and for ours. Amen. It's really amazing. Elijah has absolutely no introduction whatsoever. There's nothing said about his background. We get no idea who he is. All of a sudden, we come to 1 Kings chapter 17, and God is speaking with Elijah the prophet. So what do we do with Elijah? This morning I want to get inside Elijah's skin to try to flesh out what it was like to be Elijah, to deal with what we know about him and his calling when faith didn't always make sense. To set the stage, we need to understand that this was a very interesting and difficult time in Israel's life. It was the time of the greatest spiritual crisis that Israel had experienced in generations. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel had led the people into the worship of Baal. Baal was the Canaanite god of fertility and rain. And so the land was filled with gross sexual immorality and rampant theological heresy. In fact, the scriptures now say that Ahab had done more to provoke and anger the Lord than all of the kings before him. That's quite a condemnation, isn't it? You think of all the evil that the evil kings had done, those who refused to follow God, those who opposed God, and here's Ahab, who's worse than all of them put together. Because of his leadership and because of the influence of Jezebel upon Israel, Israel was now about to experience God's judgment. And what a reminder it is to us that God will only let his people rebel just so long. Sooner or later, every banquet of sin is served the dessert of consequences. Every banquet of sin is served the dessert of consequences. And this was no exception. Nor is it an exception for us. Our sins and our ongoing rebellions have consequences too. They may seem harmless at the time. They might even be enjoyable now. But it just means that the dessert has not yet been served. But back to Elijah and his story. His ministry began right where we began our reading. God came to him and asked him to go and confront King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. He told him to announce that there would be no rain or dew until God said there would be. Well, that's quite a pronouncement in and of itself. But think about that. They were more dependent upon rain than we are upon electricity. They needed rain to grow the crops. They needed crops in order to eat. So if they had no rain, they'd have no crops. They wouldn't be able to eat. That's why they worshiped Baal, the god of fertility and rain, or so they thought. So God decided to hit them, we would say, where it hurt the most. And he would bring judgment upon them and upon Israel to prove to them who it was that was in charge of the rain, who it was that really was in control. And so Elijah went and he made the announcement. And as the rain stopped, and as the people connected the rain stopping with this prophecy of Ezekiel, this prophecy of Elijah, Elijah became public enemy number one. And they didn't like him. They wanted to blame him. That was the beginning of his ministry. What a beginning to ministry. Sometimes faith just doesn't make sense. So I think we need to be careful what we pray and wish for. Have you ever asked God to use you? Ever dream about God using you in some really special way? That's good. But beware. Not all of God's calls are to the glorious heights. Elijah began with Ahab. Not all people are assigned by God to beautiful vacation spots. Some are sent to the slums. To where? And to what is God calling you? If you want to be used by God, continue to pursue God's will, but be prepared. He will decide where you go and what you do. Remember, Elijah began by turning off the water and cutting off the life of his very own people and was branded the enemy. Sometimes faith just doesn't make sense. But we quickly discover that God was with Elijah. He literally moved Elijah. He physically moved him. He told him to go to Brook Cherith. That there would not only be water in the brook for him to drink, but that God would feed him by means of ravens to take care of his hunger. It would also move him out of the jurisdiction of Ahab. He would be safe. Isn't that just like God? God provides for his people. Elijah went to Brook Cherith, and sure enough, there was water, and every morning the ravens came and fed him. Every evening the ravens came and fed him. God provided. Never gave him any more than he needed, but he never gave him any less. It was always there in the right amount. Whatever he needed, God provided. So what's your need right now? Where are you on the brink of shortage? Facing some kind of hunger? What lack is staring you in the face? And where is your brook careth. To where or to whom is God calling you or sending you so he can feed and water your soul? We, like Elijah, need to learn to depend upon God. If he had not gone to the brook, he would not have had water or food and no blessing. He had to trust God to provide. And God did. Back again to the story. Sometimes it's tough to be right. Elijah told Ahab there would be no rain, and there was no rain. He said there'd be no dew, and there was no dew. Elijah was reminded of it as he watched the brook every day. The brook began to get smaller and smaller. And one morning he woke up and went to the brook, and it too was dry. And even though logically he probably knew that that was going to happen, still it must have shaken him to his core. And I think we, like Elijah, are also aware that we're never fully ready when a crisis arrives at our doorstep. Sometimes faith just doesn't make sense. But God was prepared again. When the brook dried up, he told Elijah where to go and what to do. And that too is just like God. His word comes at the time of crisis, not before. Seldom does God tell us his will until we need to know his will. We need to stop worrying or panicking about some crisis that may someday come to our doorstep. If it does arrive, so will God. So God spoke to Elijah and said, "I've prepared a way for you." And what a way it was. He said, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. There's a widow there who will feed you. I will have given her my instructions." God's way doesn't always appear logical, does it? See, there's some things we need to understand here in these words. First of all, Zarephath is the center of the worship of Baal. It's the people of Zarephath and the surrounding area who were responsible for the worship of Baal that led the Israelites to worship Baal and therefore caused God's judgment in the first place. They were the ones really responsible for there being no water and no food. Why in the world would God send Elijah there to help him? And what was worse, there was a king there named Ethbaal, who was the father of the wicked queen Jezebel. So God was telling Elijah, supposedly with words of comfort, to go from the security of a place where he had at least food and was safe from Ahab to a place of extreme drought and famine into the jurisdiction of Ahab again. In fact, the name of the city really means a smelting furnace. Its mere name communicated to Elijah, this may not be fun. And to top it off, he said, a widow there is going to take care of you. Keep in mind that widows in those days had no social or economic standing. She had no husband. She had no relationship with her father's family, no job, no means of support, and yet God said, she's going to help you. Sometimes faith just doesn't make sense. This was a challenge for Elijah to trust God. I mean, if you were going through a difficult time, and somebody said, go to your worst enemy, they'll help you. Or go to the least helpless person you know and they'll help you. Would you do it? But then if that's what God said, if that was God's way for you, just beware that God's way is not always logical. But Elijah headed off for Zarephath. He realized God was calling him to more than just a place. He was calling him to develop an attitude of persistent obedience. Persistent obedience. Just making the journey required persistence. We're talking about walking 90 to 100 miles. So think of some place 90 to 100 miles from here, beyond Battle Creek or beyond Grand Rapids, and you're going to walk it in sandals. It's hot, it's dry, there's a famine, there's a drought, it's dusty and it's dirty, but you're going to walk. That requires persistence and obedience. Obedience can be painful. It can be hard. And yet I realized one time that God never offers in the Bible any 5 or 10 year plans. He simply asks His people to follow Him, and He shows them the next step in the way, and it's after they take that step that He shows them the next step. Obedience comes one step at a time, one day at a time. But the reality is that as our day is, so shall our strength be. I think we need to be reminded this morning that we can never know the future significance of our current obedience to God. We can never know the future significance of our current obedience to God. If God is asking you right now for obedience in some area of your life, just do it. God knows why He needs it. He knows why you need it. God knows the influence of it. So just do it. With that attitude and in that spirit, Elijah made the journey to Zarephath. And once again, it's just like God. There, right at the gate of the city, right at the entrance, was a widow gathering sticks. At the very moment Elijah arrived, there she was. Not a coincidence, that's only something God could arrange. So Elijah went up to her and asked her for a cup of water. She turned to go get it, and Elijah then added, "Bring me a bite of bread too, please." After all, 90 miles, he was hungry. But that request stopped her in her tracks, and she turns to Elijah and she says, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." I wonder if that surprised Elijah. It shouldn't have, really, because after all, he was the one who had proclaimed that there would be a drought. He was asking her for what she did not have. What could she possibly offer him? Sometimes faith simply does not make sense. But isn't it just like God? He often demands from us more than we think we have, or demands something from us we do not think we have. But God never asks from us what He will not also give to us in the first place. He will never ask from us what He will not also give to us in the first place. He told Elijah that the widow could provide. So God knew she could provide. Elijah knew she could provide. Now she needed to know she could provide. What is it God has been asking from you? More of your time, of your money, your heart? And what has been your response? "God, I have nothing more to give. God, I'm barely surviving now. God, you know, I really am not equipped to do this. I can't pay my monthly bills. How can I give any more to you? I don't have enough time with family and friends. How can I give more to you? What is it you really want from me?" If that's the way you've ever felt or even feel now, remember the rest of the story. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead, cook that last meal. But bake me a little loaf of bread first. Afterward, there will still be enough food for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be plenty of flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops will grow again." God is bigger than our need. God is bigger than our desires and our plans and our lack of knowledge. He's bigger than our lack of time or money. He's bigger than our circumstances or limitations. So don't be afraid. Work with God. Elijah challenged the woman to give away first. For in giving, there's blessing. Think about it for a moment. He told her God would provide the oil and flour. Could God then just not have provided the bread and said, let there be bread, and there have been bread too? Certainly God could have done that. But that's just like God, isn't it? Often God invites us to join Him in what He's doing so we can partner with Him. For example, when God decided to flood the earth, He could have just said, Noah, here's an ark. Get your family on it. The rains are going to come. But instead, He invited Noah to build the ark to participate with God in what was about to happen. God could have just simply parted the Red Sea at His word, but no, first He said, Moses, I want you to raise your rod and the waters part. He invited Moses to participate in what he was about to do. God could have just knocked down the walls of Jericho at the mere breath. He could have blown through His nostrils. He could have spoken a word and the walls could have tumbled down. But no, God had the Israelites march around it for 7 days and then the last time to march around it 7 times. And then the walls collapsed because He wanted the people to partner with Him in what He was about to do. And so to care for Elijah, He invited a widow to be part of His miracle. To take care of Elijah, God provided a brook and some ravens and a poverty-stricken woman. It tells me, it reminds me that God can use anyone and anything at any time. God can use anyone and anything at any time. He can use anyone, even me and you. He can use anything, even your circumstances and situation. And He can do it at any time. Even right now, God is bigger than any of our needs. So let's work with Him. Give Him the first portion of everything. And when we do, we'll discover what Elijah and the widow discovered. There is blessing in obedience. The widow accepted the challenge, and she and her son and Elijah continued to eat from the ongoing fresh supply of flour and oil day by day. No matter how much they used, there was always some left, just as God had said there would be. Don't miss the blessings because you do not trust God. Stand on His promises. That's what challenges me and excites me about these incidents in the life of Elijah. It hits home. Some of you here today may be concerned about the future, or maybe even concerned about getting by in the present, sort of like the widow at Zarephath who was ready for her last meal and death. But all of this happened because God wanted to call Israel back to a time of repentance, to re-examine her priorities and get back to Him. God wanted Israel, like He wants us, to be faithful. Not for His sake, but for their sake. When faith doesn't make sense, we find out how really close to God we are, or are not. When faith doesn't make sense, we discover the level of our obedience and how obedient we really want to be. And when faith doesn't make sense, we can also learn how great and wondrous are the riches and blessings of God. So I think the real question this morning is, how is your faith? How is your faith? The way to truly have what you have is to put God first. This widow woman refused to be had by the little she had. And so should we. How big is God for you? How much do you really trust Him? How much are you willing to endure while obeying Him? Give God your time, and you'll be amazed that you have more time than you ever thought available. Give God your tithes and offerings, and you'll be amazed at how He stretches your dollars more than you ever dared to dream. Give God your limited abilities or knowledge or skills and watch Him spread abundant blessings through them and through you. Give God your life and experience His abundance. Victory comes from letting God have it all. And that's why God will ask us over and over and over and over again to give it all to Him, even and perhaps especially when we think we have nothing left to give. And we're always free to refuse. But if we do, we'll run out of oil and flour. Or we can release it to Him and never lack. But the choice is always ours. There is one more piece that I should add to the Elijah timeline and life story. Elijah, you might recall, never died. He was just taken up to glory. But he did return once. He returned to the top of a mountain that we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and there he was one of the three who was able to encourage Jesus to go ahead and fulfill the prophecies of God, to go ahead and march to Calvary, which Jesus did, where He died on the cross for me and for you. Our faith is not in Elijah. Our faith is not in God alone. Our faith is in Jesus, the great Elijah. And so, I leave us with some of His words. Jesus said, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them. See how the lilies of the field grow. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, will He not much more clothe you? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for Me, you will find it." Let's pray. Lord God, sometimes faith doesn't make sense. And in those times and in those seasons of life, it is so difficult, we admit, to stay true, to stand in the promises, to trust You, to rely on Your faithfulness. But it's precisely in those moments when You offer us the opportunity to work with You in some miracle in Your plan. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You that they find their fulfillment, they find their yes in Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So even as we prayed, as we began this brief journey this morning, put in our minds and our hearts that which we needed to hear. It might be different for each one of us, but Lord, You know what it is. And stir us to obedience, even if it doesn't make sense. Deepen our trust in You. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. God, give us an opportunity